Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, as we heard yesterday on the air, Rocky is in BFE, Texas. I'm not sure where that's at, but it's somewhere east of Austin.
There's nothing east of Austin. I've been to Texas.
Yeah, well.
There's like Houston.
That's kind of where he's at.
But I mean, otherwise you're just going into swamp and Louisiana.
So I'm working with Rachel today.
Hey, buddy.
But we were talking yesterday. I was talking to him off the air, and he's like, Ed, I'm not kidding you. This hotel I'm staying in is creeping me out. And here's a guy who could whip a room full of 20 good-sized men.
Yes.
And he's like, this is kind of freaking me out. I'm like, what's the deal? And he's like, it's like the hotel in The Shining. He's like, there's nobody here.
Well, yeah, it's the middle of a pandemic, and he's traveling. Everybody else stayed at home, dude. Come on.
And I was like, buddy, if you walk out in the hallway and there's two twin girls standing there staring at you and the elevator, there's blood coming out of it, I'd leave.
Hey, if the bartender's a little bit too friendly, get suspect. But otherwise.
And he's got a hatchet mark in his forehead.
Yeah.
I'd leave.
Right.
Let's get to our usual Friday flow, though. We've got our good friend Richard Skinner from Local 12 Skinny. Hey, you know what? I'll tell you this. I had no skin in that game last night, but damn, it sure felt good to turn on the TV and watch a little football.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the first weekend of somewhat normalcy, if you will, for the fall. You get a Thursday night NFL game. We get full high school on all sides of the river tonight because Kentucky finally jumps in the fray to play high school football. We got a little college football tomorrow, not as much as we would like, and not all the teams that we would probably like. And God knows what game Rocky's doing, for goodness sakes. And then, obviously, Bengals on Sunday. So it does feel normal. Maybe Rocky doesn't feel normal the way he is, but I think we all start to feel now a little bit normal because football's back.
Well, he told me that he's going to be the sideline reporter, yeah, but the other two guys are remote. This is going to be one of the few times he's going to do this, but
so weird. Yeah.
Why do you think they sent him to the creepy hotel?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he drew the short straw on this one.
Just seeing if anybody's going to get murdered in this place. Ah, well, nobody got killed, so Rock, you're good. Now you're back in the booth.
Just Boyman. It's all good.
Yeah, he's cannon fodder, for God's sakes. So let's talk about the Bengals for a minute, Skinny. I guess none of us know what to expect on Sunday.
Anybody tells you differently, they are making it up. Even though I think we all came up with some predictions and we've all come up with predicted scores and all those things. But yeah, I mean, from what I've seen of Joe Burrow, I like a lot of Joe Burrow. I haven't seen Joe Burrow take an NFL snap yet in any way, shape, or form other than a scrimmage game. I've not seen Jonah Williams take a snap other than a scrimmage game. AJ Green is back. He's been back for a little over a week. John Ross is back, but no offense, I'm holding my breath whenever they go run a route and catch a ball and get hit, because it's just been their MO over the last couple of years. So obviously on defense, a lot of newcomers. So there's a lot of newness, but I think there's also a little bit of fun with that. I think what we knew going into last year was that wasn't a good football team, and it wasn't going to be a good season. It was a transitional time frame. It was the end of the Andy Dalton era. You could feel it coming. The defensive roster was terrible the year before, and they didn't upgrade to it. So I think the good part of this year is there's so many fun new parts that at least you got a little bit of optimism with that going in.
You have to worry about that Chargers defense, though. How concerned are you about the health and well-being of one Joe Burrow?
He's really good at avoiding pressure, and he's probably going to face it. I mean, they're facing two great ends, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and it doesn't matter where they line up. They switch sides a lot of times, and so, well, you know, you think Jonah Williams is the main guy, but he's facing two great pass rushers. The other side is the guy that Bengals fans don't feel is probably a starting caliber player in Bobby Hart, and he's got to face one of those two guys. I think the best part for them is this, though. If you look at the last part of last year, over the last nine games, Joe Mixon averaged about 95 yards per game rushing, and he did it with Bobby Hart in the lineup, with Trey Hopkins in the lineup, with Michael Jordan in the lineup. with Cordy Glenn at left tackle, and you think you got an upgrade there, and with John Miller at right guard, and you feel like you've at least steadied the ship there with Xavier Suofilo. So kind of that group, that three-fifths of that group helped Joe Mixon run the ball well last year, especially down the stretch, and you got to hope that he can do that again, because if he does that, it takes a lot of pressure off Joe Burrow. He doesn't have to drop back 45, 50 times a game and get hit 25, 30 times a game either.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Skinny. I mean, a lot of this hinges on Mixon, and those guys get him out of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, no question. And Joe wants the workload. I mean, he's last couple of years, he's only averaged about 17 carries, 18 carries a game. I think Joe would like to get that in the 22 to 23 range. I think he'd like to touch it another, you know, four, five, six times in the passing game. And look, I mean, you sign him to an extension for multiple reasons, and one of them is he's your most consistent and best offensive weapon. So now that you've got him for the extension over the next technically 5 years, including this year, four more in the extension, use him. And I think they will, and I think they will especially because it would help take a lot of pressure off asking a rookie quarterback to come in this league and light it on fire. It just doesn't happen very often.
How about our Reds? Then we'll move on.
This has been such a frustrating year, right?
It really has. I mean, come on, man. We came into the season, people are like, oh, surely with all these playoff spots available, they can stagger into one of those. Man, it's been frustrating.
I think the last time I was on with you guys was a couple Fridays ago. It was right after they had swept that doubleheader from Milwaukee, and then they ended up winning the night I was on that Friday night. They beat the Cubs, and I thought, maybe that's a corner turner. And I think I said on that Friday, it just feels like every time they go forward, it's Groundhog Day again. You get a bad pitching start, you get a bad bullpen performance, you get no hitting. And now they're really behind it. I mean, 19 and 25, I mean, we run out of time, 16 games to go. They probably got to go 11 and 5 at a minimum to push for a playoff berth. And I hate to say, I just don't see this team capable of an 11 and 5 stretch. I hope I'm wrong. I think there's talent there. It just has not come to fruition this year at all.
Skinny, if that's the case, what are you thinking the moves in the offseason are going to be with the Reds in terms of who's staying, who's going, not only on the team itself, but in the front office?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I mean, Dick Williams said he'd be extremely disappointed if the team didn't make the playoffs. I think that was probably damning for David Bell, but maybe it also should be damning for Dick Williams as well. You know, he's the one that's the architect of the club, and he hasn't exactly built a solid house at this point. So maybe he needs to look in the mirror. Maybe upper management above him needs to look at him. As far as players go, though, Trevor Bauer is going to probably price himself out of the market. And if there's been one shining light to this year, it's been the way he's pitched consistently. And let's not forget, Nick Castellanos can opt out of his contract with the Reds after this year. Now, he may not, depending on what the free agent market does, depending on, you know, where money falls because of no fans this year, but he can opt out. And while he hasn't been consistently great, he's at least been at times great, and you can't say that about many bats. So you'd be technically taking your best starting pitcher out of the mix, and at least for this season, you're probably your best hitter out of the lineup going into 2021, and that's a bad place to start.
You mentioned Bauer. What do you think, what does a guy like him command in the open market?
He's talking in terms of one-year deals, and that's all well and good, and maybe he's getting back, but it's going to be $20, $25 million. And
that's what I was
don't
thinking,
know if the
right?
Reds are willing to pay that or not. Maybe they are. I mean, they were obviously willing to spend this offseason. I think they can certainly understand a fan base that had some optimism this year. And, you know, we all hope that next year fans are going to be allowed to go back to games, right? Well, they're not going to go back to games if you don't have a good product on the field or, a product that's fun to watch. And so they've got to really swallow hard and make a determination here because they may have to spend some money they're not willing to spend just to make sure that, hey, I got a fan base still engaged because this year kind of left us disengaged again, unless they stage some kind of fantastic finish, and maybe they can.
So, Skinny, let's go back, 35 years ago, and talk about Pete Rose breaking that, getting the 41-92. Where were you? What were you doing? Were you following the Reds then?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. I was actually a weekend sports producer at Channel 9, my first job out of college. Aww. And that Sunday, they were in Chicago, and he tied it and still had another back to go. And it might have been a Bengal Sunday. I guess it had to have been. It was. And so I was the only one in the sports department, and they came back to me, and they said, hey, if Pete gets his hit, you're going to have to go on the air live. And I looked around going, whoa, time out, man. I'm just a kid out of college. I'm not sure I'm ready for this yet. So, but sure, I guess I'll do it. I mean, what a great break. Well, of course, Pete didn't break the record, but I did get a ticket for that night. I was off the night that he broke the record, and went to the game that night, was sitting in the red seats in the outfield, and it was, I mean, it was quite electric to watch that and be there for it. So I always feel fortunate.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. That was there. I still got the ticket stuff from that game. So, yeah, I almost got a chance to report on it, and then I got a chance to watch it. So it was even better.
See, I remember that night because Sting was at Riverbend.
Oh, that's right.
And Pete, when there was the Pete game, and I got invitations to go to both of them. I'm like, I just sit home. I mean, but I got to watch it on TV, so I felt pretty good about it. But yeah, I was like, I don't want to pick, so I'll just stay home.
While listening to the police in the background, right?
Right, exactly. All right, Skinny. Thanks so much, buddy. Always a pleasure. Yep, see you. But yeah, I totally remember that.
Just couldn't choose.
Well, I didn't want, you know what? Basically, I was lazy. I'm not like it was Sophie's Choice or something. I was like, it was like a Monday night or something. I forget, but it was.
Well, when you were working the hours you were working back then, it was
correct.
Probably a little bit of, that would be a struggle.
Well, I knew I could watch the Rose thing on TV. Mm-hmm. I can always put on a Sting album and live vicariously through Gordon. What do we got there, Rob, with the traffic?
Well, things aren't too bad for a Friday afternoon. From the UC Health Traffic Center at UC Health, our renowned back, neck, and spine experts find answers for complex conditions.
Eddie with Rachel in for Rocky today. He is somewhere in South Texas, getting ready to do an ESPN game tomorrow. And I know he said yesterday on the air, but I forget which teams.
Nobody can ever remember where he goes, and I feel really bad about that. Well, we know, but then we don't know.
He had to quarantine for 48 hours. That's the reason he left yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what 48 hours does you, but I guess
Do they test you before and then after,
yeah.
Or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
But my wife was talking about somebody she knew in TV, and he was shooting something I forget, but it was in Vegas. In Vegas, for God's sakes. You know, apparently you used to be able to do anything 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And the guy had to get up in the morning, go to the job site where they tested you. So you're free and clear there. When you left and got back to the hotel, they tested you and you couldn't leave your room. That was the agreement that this production agency had made.
So he's just stuck in his room for...
So you're just sitting there in your room. I guess you get room service. I don't know. How many club sandwiches can you eat?
I mean, you know, Rocky has a few babies at home. A couple dogs.
I got to tell you that he did say to me, it's going to be nice to be in a bed with no other human beings in it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not all bad. There are highlights.
He's told me his bed is like Noah's Ark, just so you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good for him. See, the creepy hotel has some pluses.
So, Rachel, let me ask you this. Is there someone in your life that you miss? I mean, who's passed away? Maybe a grandma or an aunt or some
such? Yeah, sure.
Would you want to talk to them again if they were like an AI?
No, that would be weird.
That's what I'm saying. Rocky and I had a thing on our blog a while back.
I remember this, where you can like deal with grief by virtually engaging with the person that's passed.
And this woman, yeah, she had given like a bunch of emails and whatnot, how her mother's... You know, her speech patterns through print, obviously. And so she got to sit with her mother for like a couple of hours. And, you're not getting, hey, Rachel, how you doing? You'd be like, I don't know. It's a great, it's cloudy today. You know, whatever the hell it does. But,
right.
You know, it's not like having a conversation. But nonetheless, you're comforted by that. And the woman kept trying to touch her mother. And obviously that doesn't work. Well, apparently that's becoming more and more of a thing. And pretty soon, you might be able to sit down and talk to your dead mother, father, grandma, grandpa, whatever, whoever you want to talk to, I guess.
I know that, I want to say it's in South Korea, they're using it as part of, South Korea or maybe Japan, they're using it as part of grief counseling, where they kind of build the AI of your lost loved one. And if you're having problems going through your grief counseling, they'll put you in the simulation so that you can express what you didn't get to say to your loved one before they passed.
We're talking about, it says one of these scientists, it's a no-brainer. That's almost here. It's a couple of years away.
Everything's a couple of years away. Remember when flying cars were a couple of years away?
Yeah, well, that was like 1960.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So,
but I guarantee you the way this stuff is accelerating, it's not going to be long before. And I mean, my only question is, would you want to do that? I don't want to do that.
I don't know that I would want to do that.
I mean, I miss my mom and my dad and my grandma and grandpas, but sit down for an hour or whatever it would be, you know, I wouldn't want to leave.
Well, and then they're not like really them. So right. Would you want your last memory to be of them, to be not really of them? You know what I'm saying?
Right, of the fake them.
Right. I feel like that would ruin the memory of the actual person.
I hate that my last memories are of everybody, of people being sick, but unfortunately that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, your last memory is of everybody, you know, been laying there in their deathbed, but that's kind of the way it goes. But do you want your last memory to be a fake them?
Yeah, exactly. That's, I don't know. I don't trust that.
Coming up, we got ABC News. We're going to be talking about the unfortunate anniversary of today.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk a little bit about, a little later on with Jay Ratliff, about how airlines have changed since then.
Right.
Since then.
Wow.
And how they haven't changed 19 years ago. But now it's our news. News Radio 700 WLW. Back on the Eddie and Rocky Show, only Rocky's not here. Rachel in for Rock today. And Rachel, it was 19 years ago today. I'll never forget. And anybody who was alive then, I'll never forget it.
I was actually talking to our boss, who was your boss at the time, too. When that happened, he was telling me the specifics of like how that all went down, having to come find you in the studio while you were on air, and then having to switch stuff out because obviously when we were witnessing it, nobody really knew what was going on. We thought it was an accident,
right?
And then finding out it wasn't, and then having to switch everything on the fly.
No, I totally made that up on the fly. It was incredible. But I'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, in the meantime, we've got Aaron Katursky, ABC News, and Aaron, a lot of remembrance is going on all over the country, especially in the New York area and, of course, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting at a time of coronavirus, like everything else in our world these days, the ceremony had to be altered. They didn't want to create a stage where people gathered, so the recitation of names was recorded and rang out on speakers. There was an alternate commemoration in a nearby park where a group decided that they felt compelled to read the names in person. So there was, that ceremony there. The day is interwoven with presidential politics. Joe Biden and Mike Pence were both on hand in Lower Manhattan today. But remarkably free of speeches. So, you know, Pence spoke at the alternate ceremony, but the politicians, have given us a break in large part. Joe Biden pulled all of his ads and visited a firehouse and just kind of kept it low key. And these are remembrances that have become familiar, the moments of silence and the bells for when the planes hit the Twin Towers and when the towers fell, the names, of course. And to see the pain on the faces of the families is something that just does not get any easier to bear.
Now, we also had Trump and Biden speaking in Pennsylvania, correct?
The president spoke in Pennsylvania at Shanksville. Biden did not. There were no formal remarks. The president spoke about the 40 souls that were killed on United Flight 93, but credited them with saving the country and the Capitol from an attack, which was the intended target was the U.S. Capitol in Washington. And he said that the nation had a righteous duty to remember these 40 people. The president he's gone to Ground Zero before. Pennsylvania was his preferred. He kept largely, out of an election script and more just on the events of the day.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is the tone? What is, the feeling involved with both guys being there at the same places? And is it kind of just a strange vibe to have them at the ceremony where, something that we are as a country meant to remember and hold up, and then you have this election narrative behind that? It just seems kind of strange to me.
Yeah, so the ceremony has been interwoven with politics before. I mean, in 2016, Trump and Hillary Clinton were there. You know, it's almost inevitable that the politicians are going to try and use the day as a backdrop, even if they don't make any overt remarks about it. And it's complicated because the 9/11 did become political for many people, and deeply so, and changed a lot of people's politics and political priorities in how they see the world and how they vote in that world. But the focus, at least in New York, is so very much still on the victims, because it in addition to the first responders, and there are more of them who die each year of 9/11 related causes. You know, these were people that were just going to work, and I'm always struck right when their names are read aloud. If you're watching a feed on one of the television stations, you see a picture and how old they are. Nobody was over 50. I mean, these are people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, young lives with young kids, young marriages, and so the pain lingers, even 19 years later.
Aaron Katursky, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, the day you were talking about when I was on the air, I just remember seeing it because we had little TVs in the studio, and I didn't see it happen, but I saw it after the fact because mm-hmm. Bill Bengert was my news guy then, and he said, hey, turn on the TV and check out what's going on in New York. And I saw it, and I was like, that didn't look like, because people at first were saying, oh, it's an accident.
Right.
And some plane crashed into the building. I was like, that looks like a pretty big plane to be an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, whatever it was, 10, 15 minutes later, or whatever the case was, as soon as we saw that, everybody said, oh, it's terrorists.
Yep.
And so, yeah, as far as the programming went, it was, what do you do? So I just stayed on the air probably an hour or two longer than I normally do, and we just played really low-key music. And obviously nobody was in the mood to hear Hell's Bells right then.
Right.
So we just tried to low key it as much as we could and mm-hmm. find out, because everybody was learning second to second what the hell was happening.
Yeah. And WEBN, the station we're talking about, that's more of an escape station. Like, that's where
right.
you go
exactly.
when you don't want to deal with everything that's going on in the news. But some days you can't escape what's
you
going on.
You can't escape with something that big. You just can't it's not happening.
Right. And when that happens, then you have to throw pretty much the entire script of the station out the window. And
right.
just go on the fly. And that's what you had to do.
We got John Matarese coming up, but now we've got traffic. Rob, what is happening?
From the UC Health Traffic Center at UC Health, our renowned back, neck, and spine experts find answers for complex conditions. Learn more at UCHealth.com. There's an accident on northbound 75. It's right after Sharon Road at the end of the Sharon Road entrance ramp. It's off to the right shoulder. Traffic is heavy toward Glendale-Milford Road. An accident now on eastbound 32 in Batavia past 132. An injury accident on Kenwood Road south of the Ronald Reagan, and an accident on Reading Road at Sharon Road in Sharon. You are heavy on northbound 75 between the lateral and Paddock. An 18-minute construction delay south 75 from Western Avenue. 6 minutes on northbound 75 between 275 and 12th and Pike. 7-minute delay north 71 from Ridge up to Stewart. And 11 minutes westbound 275 from Madison Pike. I'm Rob Williams, News Radio 700 WLW.
Rachel in for Rocky today. It's still me, Eddie, and it's still Friday, which means we talk to this fella. From 9 News, John Matarese, don't waste your money. So, Johnny, there's still stuff out there in short supply?
Guys, isn't it frustrating? You know, we started this pandemic, 10 years ago? No, I mean, 6 months ago. It feels like 10 years, right. Exactly. It started with the hand sanitizer and the toilet paper. Remember people with the carts full of toilet paper? That was like beginning of March. People were just clearing it out. And then from there, it went to the Lysol wipes and the Clorox wipes. Well, they kept saying, oh, by summer, everything's going to be back to normal. Everything's going to be back to store. It's going to be restocked. Well, they have restocked of some things, but they haven't of others. And there's all these new things that you can't find, like toilet paper, for instance. Now they have too much toilet paper. Have you noticed that? It's like toilet paper up to the ceiling. I go down and I go grocery shopping, and I go down the aisle of the cleaning products. You know, I'm looking for Mr. Clean, or I'm looking for Formula 409. They don't have any of that. Can't find those cleaning products, but they've stuffed those shelves with toilet paper to make the shelves look full. I love that.
Yeah, I've noticed definitely the toilet paper is in abundance now.
Well, it's better to have more than you need than less than you need, okay?
Well, it always pissed me off that you'd go in there and we go to our local market, and this one lady was telling Deb one day, she goes, I see the same people in there every morning at 7 o'clock. As soon as they'd open, they would go and buy one of those big giant brick things of toilet paper. And she's like, you know, they don't need it. They've been in there 10 days in a row. And
you don't know what kind of digestive problems they have. But Eddie, don't judge.
These 80-year-old people are panicked because they're not going to have anything to wipe with.
There are people, really. This is serious. Like Willie, that might need 10 rolls of toilet paper a day.
Well, he's kind of full of it. But anyways.
So we've got the toilet paper back. That's good news. But you still can't find the Lysol wipes. You still can't find the Clorox wipes. A lot of the cleaning products are missing. And there's all these weird things you can't find. Bicycles. That one just blows me away. Because nobody stocked up. Nobody hoarded bicycles. We weren't stocked. Oh, I better buy 10 bicycles. You know? But you can't find a bicycle anywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, Target, it got so bad. You know, their shelves, their bike racks got cleared out. Oh, I would say about May. The kids got out of school. Every parent bought a bike for their kids. Well, the bike section was empty. I went back there a couple of weeks ago. There is no bike section anymore in Target. They basically put other stuff there. Yeah. They put dorm room stuff because there are no bicycles.
Or more toilet paper. That's a good place for it.
Put toilet paper there. We went to a bike shop, and they've got bikes for, seriously, $2,000 and up. Mm-hmm. Only the really expensive ones. I say, hey, how about a bike for $300? Get me a nice Schwinn. $275. You can't get a Schwinn. I mean, they're sold out, back ordered everywhere. Walmart, Target, any bike shop. It's insane. I mean, you got to get on Craigslist, and then there people are tripling the price. So bicycles are the biggest shortage right now. The other one, have you guys needed any kitchen appliances? Because that's a big one, too.
Oh, I heard people buying up freezers, right?
Yeah. Oh, you can't get a freezer because we're going to run out of food. So everybody's buying freezers. You can't get a freezer. Well, now even because of shipping problems from China, the refrigerators and washers and dryers are in short supply. You can get them, but you're not going to get the color or the exact model you want. You got to be flexible there with those. So that's just some of the weird things that are in short supply. And then I love this one, canning jars. You know, grandma loves canning those tomatoes.
People are totally down with that this year. I've noticed that a
lot. It's going to be worse next year. That's what I think. You're going to have more people buying because now everybody's going to go out and buy the gardening stuff for next year. Next year is going to be even worse. You're not going to be able to find that stuff at all.
Yeah, everybody's planting tomatoes and peaches and all that stuff, and they're canning it, and you can't find the lids to those bell jars. It's just unbelievable. The stupidest thing. There are all these weird things. I got a whole story on WCPO.com of, like, the 9 things you can't find right now. I mean, swimming pools. I mean, it's just bizarre, all the things that you can't find right now.
All right, let's talk something else that everybody's been into because of COVID. Streaming services. Everybody's got a bunch of balls in the air on this. What are the most popular? Because I'm curious about this because I'm just sick to death of my cable bill and I'm trying to figure out the best way to go about this.
Yeah.
So what are the best, the most popular, least popular? What are we looking at here, John?
Yeah, a new survey came out this year and everybody's streaming everything. And by far, I mean, it's not even close, the most popular, favorite, hands down streaming service, Netflix.
Yeah, that's easy.
Netflix. Nobody even close. Because think of it. All these shows, they're in the popular vocabulary. And like this year, I'm a huge Ozark fan. Just love that show. But in the past,
I got to watch that show.
You
I hear
do.
So many
you
great things
to.
About
oh,
it.
You got to watch it from
so
the start.
Good.
From the start. I was a huge Stranger Things fan. Well, because I'm a nerdy kid, you know, and I just related to
it. It's a great show, John. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and if you want good family entertainment, nothing beats Stranger Things before that. You know, Breaking Bad. I mean, so many great shows on Netflix. It's just amazing how many shows are out there. So people love Netflix, and that by far was number one. It was followed by Hulu and then Disney Plus. And that's surprising because that one's only like 6 months old.
Right.
But families love Disney because of all those Disney shows and Toy Story and you got the Marvel comics and you got all that stuff. So they love Disney Plus. The least favorite, the one people who have and they say, I don't think so. The least favorite, Apple TV Plus.
Really?
Is
that amazing?
That's
because
shocking,
Apple is the best consumer company in the world. They make the best consumer products in the world. They make the iPhone. They make the iPad. They make the MacBook. Nobody does anything better than Apple, except in TV streaming.
They won't stand for that.
People are saying, nah, baby, nah.
They won't stand for that for long.
I was going to say, you don't want to piss off Apple. Now there's going to be, we're going to crush everybody.
Yeah,
but here's the problem. It's almost not their fault. They have, like, no shows.
Right,
you know,
that's
they got the morning
thing, right.
show with Reese Witherspoon about a TV morning show. Who cares? I mean, I guess it's okay. It's a good show, but there's very little else, and it's not quite their fault. It's because everybody's wearing masks, and they can't get within 6 feet of each other. How are you going to shoot a show?
And they use robot cameras and stuff now, so what fun is that?
It's like the soap operas. You know, you turn on All My Children, General Hospital, Young and the Restless, and they're running soap operas from, like, 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got have you noticed all the women have those big perms in the mall claw?
Well, I keep wondering what the game show is going to do, like Price is Right and all those shows that rely on, you know, audience interaction.
It's either wear a mask or roll out the retreads from 1987. Hey, guys, have a good week. And as I would say, don't waste your money.
Thanks, John. Coming up, we're going to be talking to our good friend Jay Ratliff here on the 19th anniversary of 9/11. How have the airlines changed and how should they change? After our news, News Radio 700 WLW. Rachel's in for Rocky today. I'm still Eddie. And Rachel, 19 years ago today, as I said before, everybody knows where they were and, you know, knows of a certain age. And you know what you were doing, how you felt when you saw it. And one of the things I've thought about over the years was, you know, 19 years since that happened. And I remember my mom and dad when I was a kid talking about Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, it was like early, from the time I can remember, let's say 64, 65. And I remember them talking about Pearl Harbor. And I'm like, Well, that was a long time ago. Golly, that's still bumming you out? Well, if, now, this comes, you know, this happens in our, in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as clear as a bell to me. So I understand what they felt about Pearl Harbor.
It's just a fundamental shift in society, right, and culture, exactly, and everything. It impacts everything we do, including travel.
Here to talk about the airline industry before and since 9/11, our good friend Jay Ratliff. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, Eddie. A long day, but a good day.
So your memories of that day, sir?
Well, I remember getting a text when there was an aircraft that hit the tower at in New York, and then it wasn't too much after that that we received notification of the second. And Eddie, at that point, we knew that we were under attack. We knew it was Osama bin Laden, and we knew there were probably going to be more airplanes involved. We'd been briefed.
So, Jay, let me interrupt for just a second. Mm-hmm. Where are you working at that stage?
Northwest Airlines, and okay. we were getting briefed, goodness, every month from the FAA and the FBI because of some summer travel or some summer threats that had been made by Osama bin Laden, talking about how he was going to go after the airline industry. It was going to be an attack of some spectacular fashion. So we're thinking, okay, our concerns are surface-to-air missiles. We've got check luggage isn't being screened, so is there a possibility they're going to try to smuggle stuff through as far as in a bag? And at that point in time, we had the positive passenger bag match in place, which meant if you checked into my flight with two bags that were checked, you didn't show up at the gate, the plane didn't leave until those two bags were removed. So, I mean, we had a lot of different contingencies that were being discussed, but obviously nothing like what happened.
Yeah, you guys didn't anticipate that it would be a suicide hijacking.
No, because it went against everything else that we had happen before, and unfortunately the airline industry, much like so many other things, are reactive in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always based on what has happened in the past. Let's try to prevent that from occurring again, as opposed to, you know, trying to have a contingency plan in place for every conceivable thing that might happen. Because at the time, you know, you were able to get through the security checkpoint with knives and scissors and things, as long as the blade wasn't longer than 4 inches long. So when the terrorists went through with the box cutters, nothing was really thought because they were allowed. So it wasn't really a breakdown in security at the time. And if you have a hijacker on board an aircraft, especially one that's aloft, you basically have a dialogue between the captain and the hijackers to determine what's needed and, you know, try to comply as best you can. So that's why the terrorists had no difficulty really accessing the flight deck, because that's the way flight crews were trained at the time, to kind of take that bank teller mentality. Mm-hmm. So everything that we had in place, you know, we didn't need reinforced cockpit doors at that time because of what I mentioned as far as the way that the crews tried to work with whoever was trying to take over an aircraft. So it was just unexpected. And for me to see something I love, you know, airlines, to be used as a missile of terror. And then, of course, the 4 days after that, when there wasn't anything in the sky but a military jet. Those were some stark times with all the lives that were lost.
So what have they done right? What have they done wrong since that day?
Well, I mentioned that they were not screening check bags. The public perception, Eddie, was they were, and we weren't. You would check in at
the
bag.
I'm sorry, but I mean, you said that one time, and I just always assumed that they were checking the bags.
That's where the airlines and the FAA were thinking, and that had been told to me, saying, Jay, the perception is the bags are being screened, and we're okay with that. Because there's no way we could go to the expense and the time and the effort to screen every piece of bag, because people would have to get to the airport 3, 4, 5 hours in advance for us to be able to do that. So the idea was, even when Pan Am 103 was blown out of the skies over Lockerbie, Scotland, I think it was December of 88, the following year the recommendations came out as far as some different points that we could look at to learn from that, and one of them was encouraging the airlines and airports to look at trying to get the bag screened. But check luggage was not screened in 89 or through the 90s, even with the Gulf War, even though we knew we needed to do something. So the thought was, well, let's implement these three questions that we'll ask people. Did you pack the bag yourself? And has any known person approach you to give you right. something, carry on board, all that kind of stuff, and thinking that those three questions were going to upgrade the security in commercial aviation. It was a joke. It was the perception of that.
So I totally remember going through security and them asking me that. I'm like, really? Come on.
And the freaking flyers would show up and say, no, 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 just to start the conversation to get the questions out of the way. But after 9/11, they found a way to screen every piece of checked luggage. And to me, that took, on a scale of 1 to 10, where we were at before, at maybe a 2.5, up to maybe a 4, 4.5, because that was a significant thing. That was a gaping hole in security, because any time we had a plane crash, we were holding our breath, wondering if 15 more were about to come out of the...
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sky. Because we didn't know what brought down this jet. So the thought is, has somebody gotten on board and brought an explosive through a piece of checked luggage and compromised an aircraft and it crashed? So that was the one thing that we were worried about there. But the other big thing has been the full-body imaging scanners. Prior to 9/11, we used the magnetometers that you would walk through. And basically, those are designed to detect metal. But the scanners are designed to find out if you have any powder or liquid explosives underneath your clothing. So we've had two Russian airliners that were brought down 15 years ago or so by two individuals that were wearing explosives that were not picked up by those magnetometers. So now that we have those full-body imaging scanners and they're there for use, it allows us to detect whether or not anyone has anything under their clothing. Now, unfortunately, not every passenger is subjected to that. It's random, but at least it's in place, and it gives us an opportunity to try to prevent anything like that from getting on an aircraft. And to me, that probably takes the scale of 1 to 10 up to about a 6, 6.5. So, yeah, we've come a good way since then, but anyway, we've got obviously some ways to go before, you know, other things kind of get it real comfortable.
Jay, what things need to be done in order to bring that up to a 10 out of 10 for
right.
you?
Right.
Well, I think 10 would be, like, impossible to achieve, but I'd like to get as close as we could. But the thing that's always bothered me is the fact that our agents at airports are not screened before they can have access to the ramp. Now, pre-coronavirus, you'd have almost 1 million people a month that would touch an aircraft that had not been directly screened. Now, they have screening in place that's random for various employees at different times, and that's okay. But, you know, in Atlanta, they had to start screening every one of their employees at the airport that worked on the ramp and different things, because they police had found out that they were running a gun smuggling ring between Atlanta and New York City. So they figured, like, well, we've got to, you know, find a way to stop this, and they found a way to make it happen. So the same excuses they gave us before with regards to why we couldn't screen check bags, it's the exact same thing when it comes to, you know, screening airline workers. And believe me, I'm very aware of the impact it would have on airport operations and the challenges it would have with the airlines, but the bottom line is, if you're going to be serious about security, then you need to be serious about security. And the other thing I'd love to see is some stronger security for planes that remain overnight.
I was going to say one of your pet peeves is the the parked planes.
And Eddie, I really thought when the guy that worked for Alaska Airlines was able to access an aircraft, start it up, taxi it out, maneuver it into position for takeoff, and then take off, I thought, okay, this is going to be something that's going to really start to see some of the money that's poured inside the airport on security start to spill out to the outside. But, yeah, it worries me because, you know, if you've got all these airplanes in the Evansville, Indiana's, and some of these smaller regional airports with an aircraft that's of a decent size, well, I mean, it'd be a lot easier to, you know, not even worry about going through security if you're talking about gaining access to that aircraft from the outside. So, to me, those are the two things that we've got to spend more time on. And unfortunately, right now, you know, the airline industry is in a state of crisis. And when that happens, you're not really looking at trying to implement things that are going to, you know, cost money or change things too much, because you've got airlines right now that are simply fighting to survive. But I think the only way we can really honor the lives of the people that were lost 19 years ago is to try to make things as safe as we can for people that follow them and as far as travel. And I think we've done that, and I certainly think there's more that can be done.
All right, Jay, with that, we'll let you go. Thanks so much, buddy.
All right, anytime, Eddie.
Jay Ratliff, our aviation guy. And, you know, you think about these things and how, you know, we want it to be as safe as it can be, but...
Well, and then
as he said, 10 out of 10 is impossible.
Oh, and the thing is, until something else bad happens, unfortunately, it's not going to move the importance of that issue of security down the line to make it something that they're going to spend money on. And that's just, it's terrible.
Checking in with traffic now. Rob, what are you seeing?
Things are looking pretty good right now. They've cleared that accident eastbound 270.
Eddie with Rachel in for Rocky. Hey, Matt, we got to find out which game Rock's on tomorrow. I know he's on ESPN, too. I don't know what time it is, but he's
in
Texas.
He needs to start, like, printing up an itinerary for us. That would be helpful.
I remember when he first started, and he and I had been working together a little bit, and I was just doing stuff around the house, and I told him, I was like, I'll be watching on Saturday.
Aw.
And he was doing, like, some Division II game. It was, like, North Dakota, you know, Catholic versus South Dakota, whoever. And so I sent him a text, and, like, and I could tell, that's where we were quick friends. You know,
yeah.
He was filling in and stuff. But, you know, I sent him a text, and he was like, I'm really nervous.
Aww.
But yeah, he's kicking some ass. I mean, shoot, that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, he's old hat now. Oh, and it looks like, what is that, University of Texas, San Antonio, and Texas State. That's what he's doing.
There you go.
And by the way, fun trivia fact, Friday Night Lights, remember that TV show?
Absolutely.
Tim Riggins went to University of Texas, San Antonio, I do believe. Or at least that's where the scholarship he was offered to on that show.
Oh, that was the character?
Yeah, Tim Riggins. Riggins Riggs. Come on.
You
don't know this?
I never saw it.
There are some people out there listening.
I remember the show.
Yeah, there's some people out there listening that was like the bright spot of their day. Riggins Riggs.
All right. Well, I have to catch. I have to binge it sometime.
You will. Yeah, it's on. I think it's streaming on Peacock now, the NBC streaming service.
So we were talking earlier.
Sadly, I know that right off the top of my head.
We were talking earlier about AI, right? And
yes.
You're kind of into the tech thing a little bit.
Yes.
This now I've seen two different articles here in the last couple of days about AI writing articles. Opinion pieces. I'm not kidding you. In this case, one of them is, it's known as GPT-3. All right, so this thing has written its own article.
And what is the article on? This is what I'm really interested in.
How the robots don't want to hurt us.
Oh, sure.
I'm
going to trust the AI about what robots really want to do to us.
Don't throw me in that briar patch. It goes blah, 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 blah. But Stephen Hawking at one point was quoted as saying, you know, eventually they're going to wipe us out.
Yeah, they made an intelligent robot over in Europe, and they asked him, you know, what are you going to do with humans? What would you do with humans if you were in charge? And the robot responded, put them in a zoo. That was the actual response of the smart robot in Europe. They unplugged him shortly thereafter, luckily. Well, but that's my point. They're proven.
GPT is, he seems to be no threat, or it seems to be no threat.
Now they figured out how to lie to us. Great.
One of the quotes is, Stephen Hawking has warned that AI could spell the end of the human race. I am here to convince you not to worry. Artificial intelligence will not destroy humans. Believe me. Now...
Yes. I mean, could it do any worse than we're currently doing right now? Maybe not.
That's right.
Maybe not.
Just go ahead and do it, son.
Yeah, robot overlords. Why not?
I have no desire to wipe out humans, says, and it's GPT-3, but it's grade 0.3 is the actual name of the computer.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I totally trust you, AI robot.
We're going to be talking movies coming up. After the news right now, News Radio 700 WLW. Eddie with Rachel in for Rocky, and as we do this time every Friday, we talk a little movie action. And Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movies, what are we looking at this week? Is there anything out there worth imbibing?
There are a couple new movies that are out. Of course, we had the big push of the Tenet movie, of course, last weekend, and we're at a lull, and they just announced, the news just broke recently, that they're moving Wonder Woman to the end of the year, so that will not be coming out at the beginning of October. I think they're sort of looking at the difference that happened with the box office with Tenet last week, which wasn't as strong as they were hoping. But there's still some smaller movies out there. One of them this week is exclusive to theaters, called The Broken Hearts Gallery, and it's about a woman in New York City who always saves a memento from an old relationship. She has trouble letting go of the past, and she starts putting them at this. She has a friend who is renovating a hotel, and she starts putting the mementos on a wall, and it kind of turns into its own little makeshift art installation where other people bring in their mementos from past bad relationships. And that's really, though, just a backdrop, which explains the title. It's a backdrop for her to have a romantic comedy relationship with this guy who runs who's renovating this hotel. And, you know, it's a cute movie. It's formulaic. It plays around a little bit with the formulas, but it has all the elements there. And, you know, a lot of people complain about a formulaic movie, but when it comes to a romantic comedy, you kind of want the formula, and so this one works.
It sounds like one of those movies that Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks would have made Sing.
Sure, yeah. That you would have a different cast back, you know, 20 years ago or something like that. But yeah, that's really what these things are. They're nothing. They're not groundbreaking. And I think they're putting this one out there, I think, this weekend, because you had the spy thriller with Tenet. You had Unhinged, which was the sort of the
right,
domestic
the
thriller
Crow thing, right?
Yeah, with Russell Crowe. And then you also had the superhero movie, The New Mutants. And they're kind of seeing what can bring people to the theater. So I guess they're checking in for the date crowd and the girls' night out crowd.
So are people going back to the theaters? I mean, like as you said, they were kind of disappointed in Tenet, but I have no desire to go to the theater, and it's not even because of this. It just seems a weird time to go to the theater to me.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it's a yes and no question. I think people were building Tenet up to be this panacea that was going to bring everybody back, and I think that was putting a lot on that movie's shoulders. And I think I said last week, this is a slow climb up a mountain rather than leaping to the top. So I think it's slowly going to be bringing people back to theaters, but it's a mix between people feeling safe and wanting to go back, and then Hollywood releasing movies. Like I said, they just postponed Wonder Woman, probably because they realized they're not going to be able to get $100 million weekend out of it. But also they don't want it to be in competition with Tenet, because Christopher Nolan movies are known for having legs and can go on and at least get money made for like several weeks after its initial release.
Hey, Kevin, do you actually think that, you know, further down the line when we are in November, December, and potentially dealing with a flu season too, that this is realistic, that movie theaters will be back in business?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on when there's a vaccine and how effective the vaccine is and how many people opt for the vaccine and how quickly it can be distributed. You know, you're looking at, I mean, Thanksgiving is, people aren't thinking about it this way, but it's less than 2.5 months away. So that's the big winter movie season. So that's not very far. I think all of 2020 is going to have an asterisk beside it when it comes to the releases. And they're going to it's possible they may move some movies just to a safer time. I think what you're going to see is the smaller movies like the Broken Hearts Gallery or even that thing, the Unhinged movie with Russell Crowe. Those are the ones that I think are going to do better in the theaters because they don't need to have this massive everybody going out to the theater to see them weekend. They can just sort of putter along and make money.
So, Kevin, let me ask you, here in a couple of years, are we going to all of a sudden, once everything is whatever, is back to normal, as new normal is going to be, are there going to be just a ton of great movies coming out all the time?
Well, I mean, they have backlogged the big blockbusters and the huge movies, with the exception of Tenet. That's all just going in a backlog. But then again, there's a bunch of them that aren't getting made right now, or they're having issues like, you know, famously, the Batman had production issues last week when they found out Robert Pattinson, the star, tested positive for COVID. And I know that there have been some delays on the Jurassic World movies, and then the everyday movies are still not being made, not nearly at the level that they were, you know, before the pandemic. There's still a lot of people out in Hollywood out of work. So for as much as we're delaying them, I think everything's just kind of getting shifted. Like, you know, you're moving the tablecloth with the place settings there, and it's all going down the table. So I don't think we're going to get this glut of movies. It's just, we're going to suddenly have movies back and, you know, normalcy 6 months or so is probably when everything, hopefully, we're back to normal.
We said
summer.
That 6 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. That's I've seen a quote, and I don't know. I didn't read the article, but I saw that like Dr. Fauci had said it may not be till next winter, or, you know, next 2021, this time 2021, that things might be getting back to normal with the theaters. But who knows? Like I said, it all depends on what happens with the virus and whether people are comfortable going back. It is a chicken or the egg thing of people going back and Hollywood releasing movies.
So what about the other new movie this weekend? It's called Rent-A-Pal.
Rent-A-Pal. Yes. This is a little darker than the Broken Hearts Gallery. It's the story of a guy in the 80s, and he's 40 years old. He lives in his mother's basement, mainly because he takes care of her because she's got dementia and she needs full-time help. But he's also a little bit odd, and he has trouble meeting women. He's not exactly Casanova, so he does video dating, and he's not lighting up the VCR for all these women very much. So he's desperately searching for somebody and finds this videotape of, and it's Will Wheaton playing the guy on the videotape, who basically is like his friend. He can be his friend, and he gives him one half of a conversation, and he sort of develops this cadence with this videotape and kind of becomes friends with it. But, you know, you could tell this guy's a little bit off, you know. I mean, you're waiting for him to go Travis Bickle throughout the entire movie.
It's okay.
And it's one of those things that he's already teetering on the edge. So he is not going to use, you know, it's not going to be a high mileage trip for him to be driven crazy. And this is where it gets creepy and weird and disturbing, because you're just waiting for him to crack. And that's where it falls into this suspense movie. I mean, it's exceptionally well done for how limited in scope the movie is.
See, when I saw the title, Rent-A-Pal, I thought it was going to be some...
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a cheery thing.
Right.
Yeah, like a whimsical romp through some fun times. I said Broken Hearts Gallery is the date movie, but, you know, any movie can be a date movie if you got the right date.
Right on, baby. All right, so Kevin Carr, if people want to find out more, what can they do?
Just go to fatguysatthemovies.com.
Thank you.
All right.
See you, buddy.
You know, I was thinking about it. I think about this quite often, actually. Rom-coms, old rom-coms, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. from maybe 20 years ago. What happened in those rom-coms is like now illegal. You can't even do it. Like, you know, where, like, let's take Sleepless in Seattle. She flies across country, stalks a guy, and then basically pursues him. That's like not okay in today's society. That movie would never be made.
Well, yeah, that's kind of pathetic. I mean, you think about some of the old TV shows and whatnot, and we've also talked about the non-PC nature of, I mean, name some of the early 70s TV shows, All in the Family, or even The Jeffersons and stuff like that, and Maude and all that. Hell no, that couldn't be done now.
Never, never. But people just freak out, like, about, and it's still surprising to me. What was the one that Sandra Bullock did where the guy fell on the train tracks? Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I forget the name.
And she pretends
it,
to be his fiance. That would never go today, because people would be like, that's creepy. You can't do that.
But it didn't. I remember my wife loved that movie. But don't they end up together in the end?
No, she actually ends up with his brother.
Ah, that's okay. Yeah.
His family decides they basically... they like her better than they like their son, who's in a coma. And they're, while you were sleeping,
while you were
thank
sleeping.
You, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
And yeah, so they kind of, and then the brother falls in love with her, and you know, but she's made up this whole story in her head about like how they would be perfect together. And when he falls on the train tracks, she pretends to be his fiance to go to the hospital with him, and whole thing's just kind of creepy when you think about it.
So Rob, are you much of a rom-com guy?
Rom-com. I love a good rom-com.
Rom-coms are the best.
It. Yes.
I live it.
But, none of that stuff, I was never much into it.
I wasn't really, but there are a few good ones out there. The Sandra Bullock, Ryan Reynolds one, The Proposal, that was pretty good.
Oh, Proposal is good. That is a solid movie. You're missing out. It's
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You don't watch it. That's pretty cool. Runaway Bride, I've watched that.
No, it's okay.
I mean, I wouldn't go and choose something like that as my first choice.
Would High Fidelity count as a rom-com? It would, right?
You're asking a guy who thought Silence of the Lambs was a rom-com.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I was watching some Silence of the Lambs the other night. I'm like, this is really a good movie.
And one of my favorites. Oh. And, that just... from start to finish, that's fantastic.
What you got, buddy?
But if you'd like to hear some traffic from the UC Health Traffic...
This is the Zach Taylor Report, brought to you in part by Mercy Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and by Papa John's Pizza on 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And I'm joined by Bengals head coach Zach Taylor, who's going to be joining us every week at about the same time, as long as they're playing on a Sunday, that would be. And it's good to have you back for another season there, coach.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. A strange offseason, strange training camp, but here we are, a couple days away.
No doubt. All right. Now, Joe Burrow, I was talking to Dan Hoard the other day. I think it's the most anticipated rookie debut as long as I've been here and a Bengals fan, which is like 35 years. Dan said maybe that Carson Palmer, but everybody knew he was going to sit the first year. This is a big deal, and from what I see of him, he's the kind of guy who doesn't let that get to him in the least. Is that your take?
Correct. He's got high expectations for himself, and I think this is how he saw everything going. So we're just trying to get the whole team ready to play. He's done a great job preparing himself, and excited to watch them all play on Sunday.
Yeah, and with no preseason games, obviously all teams are equally hamstrung there when it comes to player evaluation. And I guess you have to figure you did the best you could, and some of the evaluating will come in regular season games, I would assume.
You're right about that, and we had a much better feel for the roster going into this year, so we had to find ways to simulate some preseason game situations so that we made sure that we could get the right 53 on the team. And the way the practice squad rules are, you really feel like you got a roster of 69, to be honest with you, because of the way you can elevate guys on game day.
Sure. All right, Chargers are game one, and when I think of the Chargers recently, I think Phillip Rivers, he's gone. What are the Chargers looking like to you as of now?
Well, they got an experienced quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. They got some real good weapons, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler. And then on defense, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram.
Yeah.
And so they got some playmakers on both sides of the ball.
Well, I know Burrow said he was hoping he could get tackled.
Yeah, I wasn't going to let that happen.
Good job. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, hopefully he doesn't experience that for a while.
Yeah, really, hopefully. All right, we'll run, but best of luck on Sunday. We'll talk to you in a week.
Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Zach Taylor Report, brought to you in part by R&L Carriers and by Twin Peaks Sports Bar and Restaurant in Westchester on 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
Eddie with Rachel in for Rocky, and as we do this time every Friday, I'd like to have a little discussion about movies. Now, we were talking about a couple of topics here, and both of them... I had done before.
Yeah.
But since we're in this time, and you and I agree on this one, this time of binging, how many, we're talking movies you've seen more than five times. Now, I know we've done this several times, but we can never get all the calls in.
I can't. There's so many movies I've seen more than five times.
Your number is 749-7800, the big one, #700 on AT&T. Movies you've seen more than five times. Let's do, three movies you've seen more than five times.
Okay.
Because everybody's seen one movie more than five times. Three movies you've seen more than five times.
You want me to just...
Off the top of your head.
Okay. Boondock Saints, Mean Girls, and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mean Girls does not surprise me with you. But
I think you and everybody else would say that probably.
I have never seen Boondock Saints, and everybody always gives me crap for it.
You got to.
I've heard it's great.
You never know when you're going to need rope.
Well, I just never seen it.
Because
I have my list here, but I don't like to get mine out there until everybody else gives theirs.
You can use all of mine because probably I'm guessing nobody else is going to say Mean Girls but me. So I have a bunch of others that are like that, so it's fine.
That's kind of a documentary for you, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of it is, oddly. Yes, I relate very much.
749-7800, the big one, #700 on AT&T. Movies you've seen... more than five, at least five times, three of them. That's all we're asking. Hey, how about you, Steve? A movie you've seen more than five times?
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, that one's, that's an easy call.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing movie all around. It gives a good picture of the American dream.
Yeah, you know what? And thanks, Steve. I know I've seen that movie more than five times. I just never even thought of it.
I think I have too, yeah.
One of mine is, I will say, and I always talk about Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
Which you guys, because you've never seen it either.
I don't think I have, no.
Because Rocky's never seen it. I was like, dude, you love that movie. It's crass, it's cruel, it's awful, but it's funny. Let's talk to David about it. David, thanks for holding, buddy. Movie you've seen more than five times, or three movies you've seen more than five times. Hell, I don't care.
Pulp Fiction. I can't even count how many times I've seen it.
You know what? That is definitely one of mine. I didn't write that down either.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino, he's my man, but he really did drop the ball on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Nothing happened. I consider myself I watch films. I don't watch movies, but I'd say The Hangover, and I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Best in Show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a great movie.
Oh, my God. That is okay. Oh, Spinal Tap.
Yeah, Spinal Tap's one.
Spinal Tap. As they say, Bruno Kirby's holding up the sign, Spinal Tap.
Yeah, gotcha. Hey, how about you, Scott? Movies you've seen more than five times.
I've watched the movie Rounders probably 50 times, and it's a movie that most people probably don't know because it was kind of a flop commercially, but it's Matt Damon and Edward Norton and John Malkovich. It's all about Texas Hold'em, and they play in these seedy kind of underground card games in New York City. It came out right before Texas Hold'em got big. It's one of the finest movies. I'm telling you right now, it's when Miramax was making really good movies back in the day, it's excellent. If you ever get a chance to watch it, check it out.
You know what, Scott? That's one of those movies I've always wanted to check out because I've always heard exactly what you're saying. That it's a really good movie.
It's so good. John Malkovich Miramax was doing another movie with him, being John Malkovich, and they asked him to try out for the part of the lead gangster who kind of runs this whole organization of all these underground card games. And Malkovich goes, I watched a documentary on it. He said, well, I'm going to do the guy as a Russian guy. And they're like, well, no, it's not a Russian gangster. He goes, I'm going to do him as a Russian. And they had to completely rewrite the script as a Russian gangster because he just wanted to try it. And he pulls it off. If you get a chance to watch it, it really gives you some insight into the game of Texas Hold'em, which is a fantastic game. But it's just so well done, and it's a movie that I'm sure most people have never seen.
Well, I'm definitely going to look that one up because, like I said, I've always heard it was a good one. So we got a new one in the queue. Is this Amy?
This is Amy.
Amy, what do you got? Movies you've seen more than five times.
Well, I know this is these are kind of corny movies, but any Elvis Presley movies?
Really?
I love Elvis Presley, and I could watch his movies over and over.
So you've seen Clam Bake 5 times. You've seen Speedway 5 times.
Speedway is my favorite.
Wow, this is I love seeing you name all the movies though. Yeah. That's the fun part.
Yeah.
Kissing Cousins, Blue Hawaii is the easy one. Follow That Dream. Come on, man.
Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Now we're talking.
G.I. Blues.
Amy, I appreciate your love of the king because absolutely. I follow right behind you. And thank you. See, that's what you need to do this weekend. You're probably not doing anything, are you?
Oh, come on. Mo Egger's actually going to tear down a shed with a sledgehammer. I am going to be buying a mallet to fix a stove. Don't ask.
Hey, Joe, what do you got? We're talking movies you've seen more than 5 times.
Oh, man, it stole my thunder on Pulp Fiction, but Training Day with Denzel, another Denzel, Remember the Titans, and Jaws.
You know what? I totally forgot about Jaws, too. I guarantee you, Joe, I have no idea. And thanks, Joe. See, I've seen that movie.
There are movies that, like, you'll turn on or you'll see they're on when you're not, like, really watching anything. And you'll be like, oh, I'll watch that again. And Jaws is one of those movies, I feel like, right?
Oh, totally.
And you see it on, you're going to be like, yeah. I'm that way with Halloween, too. Like, I'll see Halloween on, I'm like, yeah, okay. Hocus Pocus? Of course.
A movie just the other day, and I never even thought about this when I was making my list, The Rock. Sean Connery and Cage on Alcatraz.
You like that one.
I've probably seen that movie 10 times and never even thought about it, but it's like you said, it was on a couple of weeks ago, and Deb and I were just sitting there, and I was like, well, The Rock's just starting. He's like, well, I would put it on. Hell, I don't care. I'm sick of watching the Cooking Channel because when I get bored, I'll put on, like, you know, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yep.
And just sit there and look at my laptop.
My go-to is Ghost Adventures. I'll turn that on as background. That or Expedition Unknown on Discovery.
Taking your calls. Movies you've seen more than 5 times and can watch any time. Rob, give me 2 of yours, and I'm sure there's probably 50.
Oh, I've got about 7,000. I would have to say The Goonies and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yeah. Ferris is on mine, too.
Yeah, those are 2 that I just, every time they're on, you got to stop what you're doing.
I like Ferris Bueller. The Goonies, not my cup of tea.
Really?
Yeah. You know.
Maybe you should watch it again this weekend. I'll come over. We'll make popcorn.
We're going to drink wine coolers and watch The Goonies while we eat popcorn together? Perfect.
White Claw, you silly goose.
<That's> adorable.
From the UC Health Traffic Center. At UC Health, our renowned back, neck, and spine experts find answers for complex conditions.
Eddie with Rachel in for Rocky today. Got John Madry's coming up in a little bit. In the meantime, we're talking about movies you've seen more than 5 times, but you could sit down right now and watch it again.
I'm trying to think of some others that I've got. I know whenever any Harry Potter comes on, I just sit down, just plop down on the couch and watch.
Haven't seen one of them.
Wow, really?
Or the Lord of the Rings.
Okay, I can see the Lord of the Rings. That's an investment. That's like 3 hours and... You got to know the backstory and the language and all that. Harry Potter's a little bit easier to consume.
Hogwarts?
Yeah.
That's all I know.
There you go.
Yeah, how about Rob? What are you talking about here, buddy? Movies you've seen more than 5 times.
There's a movie called Men of Honor. It's got Al Pacino and Christopher Walken. It's one of the best.
I know that movie. Yeah, that's a great one. I forgot about that movie.
Pacino gets out of prison, Walken picks him up. They were partners back in the day, but then Walken has the contract to kill him, but can't. It's kind of a dramedy.
Well, there's those are 2 of my favorite actors, too. And I also got a couple of emails, one from Steve. Animal House, Caddyshack, Blazing Saddles. Man after my own heart right there.
Aww.
And then there's John, who movies they've seen more than three times. Deep Throat, Behind the Green Door, and Debbie Does Dallas. Now,
interesting selection.
Apparently, he's into a genre, mm-hmm. as we say.
I do have the Debbie Does Dallas background music as one of my music beds for WEBN.
Ah, you found my CD.
I did.
Hey, Roy, how about you, man? Movie you've seen more than five times, but you know what? You can watch it again tonight.
American Graffiti. Seen it about 200 times.
You know what? That is a great one. I thought about that one earlier.
Yeah, so I love that movie.
The soundtrack to that movie is second to none, right?
You got that right, man. The music is just great on that one.
And the Wolfman Jack scene with Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he just comes in and talks to him a little bit, and then he finds out he's actually the Wolfman. Thanks.
Yeah, he got the melted popsicles.
Yeah, thanks, Roy. Hey, well, what about you, James? Movie you've seen more than five times, but you know what? You can watch it again tonight.
My goodness, the list is so long. How do I pick? Troy, probably Brad Pitt's best movie. Tombstone and A Few Good Men, because you know you can't handle the truth.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a Tombstone. I'm surprised that hasn't come up soon.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to find. There's a Tombstone T-shirt that just has the guys on it, and it says Squad underneath it, and I'm trying to find it in my size desperately. That's going to be mine.
What are you, an infant? What size do you wear?
It's all like sold out in smalls. I can't find it in small size, so I need to go somewhere and find it. I haven't found it yet, but I will.
Hey, Pat, thanks for holding. Movie you've seen more than five times, but you know what? You can watch it again tonight. Yo, Pat. Well, we've lost Pat. How about you, Aaron? Thanks for holding, buddy. What do you got?
I got three. Two that are on TV all the time are Shawshank Redemption,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
and Trading Places.
Oh, Trading Places. I never even thought about that one, yeah.
That's one of the,
that one's
yeah.
always on TV. We call them quicksand movies because whenever they come on, you just get sucked in and you can't get out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
See,
and then I guess my guilty pleasure has to be the Michael Keaton Batman. I've seen that movie a million times.
See, I also forgot about that one because I guarantee you, Aaron, I'm just like you, man. If that movie's on, I watch it.
Good stuff. Love your yeah. show.
Thanks, man. And, well, Nicholson's awesome in that movie. But mm-hmm. I thought Michael Keaton, actually at the time people were like, Michael Keaton as Batman? He was actually really
was
good.
Was it Kate Basinger? What's her name? The female lead in that.
Yes. Kim Basinger.
Yes.
Basinger.
Yeah, she was actually pretty good in that movie, too, because like the only thing I had seen her in that I remembered, you know, was 8 Mile. And so
I mean, she's, you know, you go through your life and you have different crushes. Kim Basinger was... That was
on your list.
Top of the game right there now.
Okay.
Yeah, and well, let's get to Harry. Harry, movies you've seen more than three or five times, but you could watch it again tonight.
Oh, yeah, great. Hey, listen, I got three of them. My best one is Outlaw Josie Wales.
Okay.
Natural and Apocalypse Now.
See, thank you, Harry, because Apocalypse Now was on my list, too.
I figured it was.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. That movie is dark as hell, and my wife won't let me watch it with her.
I know she won't.
Andy, what's going on with you? Movie you've seen more than five times, but you could watch it again tonight.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I got three to add to the list, actually, just like the last caller.
Go right ahead.
I got Rush Hour with Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan.
Okay.
I got Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
And Smokey and the Bandit.
I'm sure that's a movie that people have seen a ton of times. Mm-hmm. That's another one of those movies that you can kind of come and go on, Andy. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You always know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much quote the whole thing. I've been watching it since I was like 3 or 4 years old, but I still enjoy watching it.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, some of my other ones, and there were a couple of people who had the same ones, but mine are The Shining. And I can't believe nobody said The Wizard of Oz, because who hasn't seen, everybody's seen The Wizard of Oz 20 times.
Did you ever watch Dr. Sleep?
No.
I actually really liked it. I don't know if you'd like it, but if you're that big of a Shining fan, I suggest you watch it, and then I want you to report back.
I was watching The Shining again the other night, and I thought about Dr. Sleep. Mm-hmm. I need to watch that. Coming up, we got John Matarese talking about not wasting your money. But now it is our news, News Radio 700 WLW.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.